Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Talking about dressing, talking about stuffing, talking about chicken and turkey. Thanksgiving is your day. Thanksgiving is my day. Thanksgiving all the way. Thank. What you thankful for? Cheese? What you thankful for?
My grandma.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving from Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Yeah, you know, sometimes we're
that rejoinder
thankful.
Was intense.
We're thankful for a lot of things. I know what producer Eric isn't thankful for, the computer system that we have, because it's always something new. It's always something new. Dopey Millennials, Caleb Johnson with Garrett Chapman. As we carry you on this Thanksgiving Day, top of the 10 o'clock hour, excited at 10:40, we will talk to the 92.9 The Game Falcons beat reporter Joe Patrick. Haven't talked to Joe in a while. I went to lunch with Joe a few weeks ago because he and I used to work together quite often on a Braves podcast that we did, obviously before Grant came, and we did some other projects and things like that, and then he went the Falcons way, I went the Hawks way, and we haven't connected a whole lot, so I'm excited to talk to Joe not only about the Falcons, but then ask him a little bit about this Atlanta United GM signing, because there's been a lot of hype and excitement around that. Might even get some World Cup thoughts from Joe when we talk to him at 10:40. But now what Garrett and I want to get into is, being it is Thanksgiving Day, a time that everyone likes to reflect on what they are thankful for, this is a sports radio station, after all. So we want to get your thoughts on what, in Georgia sports, what are you thankful for in 2022? Garrett and I will go first, but if you want to tweet us, I know I put it up on at 929 The Game. There's also, you can reach out to Garrett at GChapATL or to me at ATLJohnson18. Let us know what you're thankful for, or if you would like to call in, do it, and we'll give producer Eric more work to do this morning. 404-741-0929 is the number to call if you want to let us know what you're thankful for in Georgia sports this year. 404-741-0929. Garrett, do you want to go first? You want me to go first?
You go ahead and take it, man.
Okay. All right. So that's what
we'll go one and one.
I was about to say, when I told Garrett that we were building this, and what I'm honestly waiting for, Garrett, is for us to have the same three.
Yep.
But if hopefully it doesn't work out that way, but it's fine. And the reason why, number one for me, is because I feel like it's going to be the only time we get to talk about them in this show, just because of the time of year that it is.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm most thankful for in 2022 when it comes to Georgia sports, the Braves gave us an exciting season, coming back from down 10.5 games to those stinky Mets up north. The Braves not only gave us an exciting season, they locked up talent for the future, whether it was, you know, trading for Matt Olson counts as locking up talent for the future. So whether it's Matt Olson giving a contract to Austin Riley, giving a contract to Michael Harris, Spencer Strider, and just what, a week ago, the Braves told us, our Liberty Media CEO told us that payroll is increasing in the coming year. So what I'm most thankful for, the Atlanta Braves, the season they gave us, and the fact of not only did they have a season that, of course, didn't finish the way that it did last year and not the way that we wanted it to go, but there's still a promising future. There's not massive question marks. I would be more thankful if on this November 24th, Dansby Swanson was signed to a long-term deal. But we're not
there.
We can't
have everything.
But yeah, so that's number one on my list, being thankful for the Atlanta Braves of the season and locking down talent for the future.
I love that. No, I love that. Now, especially because the Atlanta Braves really did give us a special ride this past year. And what they were able to do is, I feel like we talked about it a great deal here at the station, but look, that was a special thing. Coming back from 10.5 games back where the Mets didn't Mets in the way that everyone likes to kind of give them crap for, but, you know, that's not exactly what happened. The Braves just played perfect baseball. And we have this whole roster locked up, at least the core, locked up for the foreseeable future. This team is going to be very good for a very long time. They aren't going anywhere. They aren't going anywhere. And it's not because we have some billionaire owner who wants to come out and throw money around like the Mets do. No, we have a roster that's been organically built up from the ground, and they acquired these players at young age. They developed them. Fans have come to know and love them coming up through the farm system, and that is something to really be thankful for. And as a sports fan, it's great to see. It's not just a team that splashed out of nowhere because the ownership threw money around. No, this team was built organically, and that matters. It's a connection to the fan base, and that's something that I love about the Atlanta Braves, specifically about the Atlanta Braves. And these guys are just going to be here for so long. I love it. I love it. No, I think that's a fantastic thing to be thankful for.
Do you have one that you are,
you are
thankful for?
I'm going to go a different direction. I'm going to go a different sports team here in the city of Atlanta, and it's the hope. I mean, we're talking about hope with the Atlanta Braves. I mean, we know that they're going to be very good. The Atlanta Falcons, they're a team that has struggled mightily over the past couple of seasons. The Dan Quinn years did not finish the way that I don't think anybody wanted them to, especially coming off of that Super Bowl. And look, things got pretty bleak here pretty quickly. And Terry Fontenot and Arthur Smith have brought hope to a fan base that desperately needed it. We hit the reset button, yet at the same time, we're still winning football games. We're still in playoff competition. Like, we are still in the thick of things. And nobody, now I didn't, nobody at the station, nobody outside of the people up there at Flowery Branch believed that this team could do what they are doing right now. And that is something truly to be thankful for, because, look, it's exciting football. We had exciting football here happening at Mercedes-Benz Stadium for the foreseeable future, and this team is only going to get better. And that's the thought, at least. I mean, money's going to open up. The team's going to get better. And it really does appear that we have the head coach, we have the general manager to take us into the future and hopefully get us competing for playoff spots and Super Bowls here in the future.
So my thankfulness when it comes to the Falcons is just the fact relevancy. Like, relevancy has been something that the Falcons fans and just like the Falcons in general have been fighting for a few years now, because it's been this way for a few years now. It just wasn't worth, you know, you see, like, Falcons fans obviously weren't showing up to games because the Falcons weren't relevant. They weren't exciting. Like, something that you and I spent so much time in this offseason coming into the season talking about was the fact of it looked like this team was going to be fun if they didn't win. You know, it was like, well, at least this will be an entertaining team to watch. And I think that's...
Well, they'll be interesting.
Yeah, and I think that they've lived up to that. Like, the fact of they are doing something right now that a lot of teams are kind of moving towards, which is really focusing on the rushing attack. Like, so much focus has been on getting these quick linebackers, these smaller guys, smaller defensive linemen. And so what are some of these successful teams in the NFL doing? Switching to going back to a more of a I can't even say traditional running game, because I don't think Arthur Smith is doing it in a traditional way. Actually, you know, some of the way that he's moved offensive linemen and these plays have just been really innovative, I believe. But the fact of, like, the Falcons moving to a running game, now granted, they're kind of partially doing it because they have to, because you can't expect too much from Marcus Mariota. What, he's got to throw less than 20 passes to win a game?
He's, what, 4-1 in games where he throws under 20 passes or something like that? Yeah, well.
But my thankfulness, though, is relevancy when it comes to them.
To that point that you were just making, too, I want to expand on that just for a quick second. I know we'll get back to this, what we're talking about here. But the NFL, the nature of the NFL, everybody's zigging, and then everybody zigs that same direction. It's all about who can zag most effectively. And for years, it seemed like that was always Bill Belichick, that he was always a step ahead of everybody else. Right now, it feels like that's the Atlanta Falcons. You know, like what you were talking about, how, like, we're transitioning away. I don't want to say we're transitioning away from a high-powered passing offense, because I still think that that absolutely has a home in the NFL.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that's
not
going anywhere. Like the Joe Burrows, the Patrick Mahomes, those guys, I don't think that's going anywhere. But something that we have seen this year is sort of a return to more traditional rushing offenses. And I think that the Atlanta Falcons are more set up right now to succeed with that offense in the near future with the pieces and the coaching staff and the identity of this team. I think that sets the Atlanta Falcons up in the near future to succeed early on. We are ahead of the curve right now. And I think that, look, we have those pieces in place already. We're in a good spot. We're in a very good spot to be competing for the foreseeable future under the tutelage and the mindful eye of Terry Fontenot and Arthur Smith.
Yeah, the last thing, because I know we're running short on time, the last thing that I'll say I'm thankful for in 2022 is I feel like we've now truly seen Georgia football become king. Mm-hmm. Like it is not, and I know we're talking about one down year of Alabama, and they could absolutely rebound and be a top tier, you know, a top two team. I guess they're still a top tier team. It's so weird to say seventh, but yeah. But it's just like Georgia, I feel like, really has taken the reins. And when everyone discusses college football and who the king is, it's Georgia football. Like you go from competing in a national championship 2018, winning a national championship last year, you are at the top once again this season. And the line between where Georgia is and where everyone else is right now seems to be a pretty sizable gap. And everything seems poised towards making my heart very warm and my pockets very empty by Georgia winning another national championship and me spending a bunch of more money on merchandise like I did last year.
I think that where we are with Georgia football right now, if Kirby Smart and Georgia football, if they go out and win another national championship, I don't want to necessarily say that they've passed the torch. I think
Why not?
I'm not ready to say that just yet.
All dynasties have to end.
Of course they have to end. But the thing is, I think that if Kirby Smart wins a national championship this year and then they go and play Alabama and beat them next year, that is officially the passing of the torch. But I'm going to expand on what you just said real quick. I know we're running up against it. Nick Saban is 71 years old. Nick Saban's been doing this for a very, very long time. It's a very taxing job being a college football coach. I'm not saying that the end is near necessarily. He just signed this big old lucrative crazy contract that I don't think he's going to get to the end of, because then he'd be like 82 years old. I'm not necessarily going to say that, but one thing I will say is that Kirby Smart is 46. Kirby Smart is under contract for the foreseeable future, I think the next decade, making tons of money, top dollar, at a program that's willing to pay him. So he's young. He's at a strong program that's willing to pay him. And he's winning football games, and it's his alma mater. He's not going anywhere. And we're looking at a situation where this is what you can expect from Georgia football for the foreseeable future. And that's a great thing in Athens, and it's a great thing for the people of the state of Georgia.
That is what the Dopey Millennials, Caleb Johnson and Garrett Chapman, are thankful for. What are you thankful for when it comes to Georgia sports in 2022? I know I threw out the tweet on 92.9 The Game Twitter page, but give us a shout-out at GChapATL, at ATLJohnson18. Let us know what you're thankful for, and we'll read those on air as we finish out hour number two of the show. We're heading into next a reporter's take. We'll listen to some audio around the NFL, the NBA, and just everything as we get set for a Thanksgiving slate of football. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It's the Dopey Millennials.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Carl Dukes from 92.9 The Game and Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, we're wishing you and your family a very happy Thanksgiving.
From Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It's the Dopey Millennials, Caleb Johnson, in with my co-host Garrett Chapman as we say happy Thanksgiving. I know you just heard from Carl Dukes saying, hey, man, but happy Thanksgiving. Hope you're enjoying your morning as maybe you're driving about going to a Thanksgiving. This actually makes me think of a great question for you, Garrett.
What you got?
Are you a Thanksgiving lunch person or a Thanksgiving dinner person?
I feel like this is more of like a north-south kind of thing. You know, like I feel like some people, I think I read somewhere on social media that up north, they eat Thanksgiving dinner at like 7:30. That's crazy to me.
P.M.?
Like, P.M. Like dinner time.
Yeah.
No way. That doesn't make any sense to me. No, I think if I remember correctly, we would normally do it like around 4 o'clock or something like that. I don't know, 3:30, 4. So like middle of the day, not lunchtime, but it's like by the end of all of the festivities and everything else where my festivities include watching football and having a beer and sitting on the couch and do it, not really moving all that much. Middle of the day.
Yeah, that's I grew up the very same way where Thanksgiving was a lunch situation, noon, 1 o'clock. I believe this year we're doing it at 1:30, and
That's so early.
Yeah, well, because here was the flow of Thanksgiving in the Johnson household. I'll give it to you very briefly. But parade is on. Everybody comes over.
There you go with that 11 parade
o'clock.
Again.
I know. Look, dude, it's on. My dad texted me while we were doing the show and was like, hey, guess what? Your show's on and the parade's on the TV. Okay? Oh. So that was just, but you'd come over.
How dare they split interest like that?
Yeah, but you'd come over at like 11 a.m., you know, parade's on, everybody's talking. Yeah, hey, I haven't seen you in forever. That sort of thing. Then lunch around 12:30, 1 o'clock, maybe even 1:30, just depending on how things go. But you're talking, everybody's, you know, catching up, that sort of thing. And then come, 5-6 o'clock, is everybody still hanging out with one another? Then you bust out the leftovers. Like, the leftovers then come out day of in the Johnson household.
I respect that.
And you hit round two. Obviously, you had, you know, had some dessert and that sort of thing, too. But you hit round two, everybody's, you know, unfolding the tinfoil the aluminum foil and heating stuff back up. But, yeah, so that's usually how things would go. But I had learned that, like, some people show up at their family's house at, like, 1 o'clock in the afternoon and they're not eating till maybe 6 or 7. I was like, wow, no, it just couldn't be me. Couldn't be me. But Garrett and I... Let's get into a reporter's take, okay? With everything that's happening with the Falcons this week, it feels like we have so much to be that we can be positive about when it comes to this team. And yet, obviously Sunday we saw Kyle Pitts leave with what is an MCL tear. There's so many reports. I can tell you, doing sports flashes on Monday was ridiculously annoying because the reports kept changing every 20 minutes. It was literally like, well, he's got an MCL sprain. And then it became, no, he's got an MCL tear. He's going to have surgery. He's out for the season. And then it was like, well, he's got an MCL tear, but we don't know if surgery is necessary. And then I think Arthur Smith spoke and was like, the only thing I can tell you right now is he's going to miss a little bit of time. And then it came out that he was going on injured reserve. So moral of the story is no Kyle Pitts for Sunday against the Washington Commanders. Which means a stepping up from the tight ends, but really, like, we know Kyle Pitts playing that wide receiver role. And so they bring up Frank Darby, who feels like final shot for him. I mean, I know he's going to stick around on the practice squad probably after, you know, depending on what moves they decide to make. But, like, this is make or break time for Frank Darby, a guy who was drafted just a couple seasons ago and was a late round guy, but they're gonna need
some bodies.
Yeah, but they're gonna need some production, some guys to step up. You mentioned earlier Cordarrelle Patterson. Let's listen to quarterback Marcus Mariota talk about Kyle Pitts' importance being very similar to Cordarrelle Patterson.
You know, you talk about earlier in the year, like a guy at CP, right? Like you had to fill that role with a few other guys. Yeah. It's kind of this similar situation with Kyle, like. You know, he turned into one of our better blocking tight ends. You know, he's such a force in the passing game. So to fill that void, you got to have a couple guys step up. And, you know, we got a great tight end group. And, you know, I think we're more than capable of doing that.
Yeah, so Kyle Pitts' role isn't just going to be filled by one guy. It's not like all of a sudden, you know, Drake London's going to just automatically be that guy. Although I think he will see more targets. But because of the freakish athleticism of Kyle Pitts being able to block, being able to catch passes, I think you'll see what Parker Hesse, Michael Pruitt fill that void in more of the blocking stuff. I know those guys can catch, but
not like Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, but it's just like one less option for Marcus Mariota to throw the ball to, and that's not something that this Falcons offense needs.
Well, no, I mean, I'm looking at it this way. It's like he's a guy who, when this offense doesn't throw the ball very often. Look, I mean, this team is more successful really when Marcus Mariota is not throwing the ball a whole heck of a lot. But look, Kyle Pitts was a guy who, whenever they did opt to throw, he was always a dude who was going to be running open. Marcus Mariota's missed him probably more than he's hit him. But that's not the point. The point is Kyle Pitts causes problems for defenses. He's a mismatch in the open field. He's a mismatch. He's fantastic on the end of the line of scrimmage. Helps in run blocking. He's a very important piece of this puzzle. And he's not something that just one dude is going to be able to come in and replace. You mentioned some names. Parker Hesse, Michael Pruitt. They're all pieces to the puzzle. They're all going to come into this offensive line. They basically be an extension of that offensive line and just come in and run block, because that's what the identity of this team is. And I think having a guy like Kyle Pitts is so important to this group. Even if most of his impact doesn't show up on the stat sheet, so you watch these games and we're going to see a tangible difference in this offensive success without Kyle Pitts. And I'm interested to see what Arthur Smith does, because when we lost Cordarrelle Patterson earlier in the year, that's a different sort of situation. I know Marcus Mariota compared the two, but look, you can fill the void that a running back leaves a lot easier than you can a unicorn tight end that Kyle Pitts is. So I'm a little concerned with that. I want to see how they do it, especially coming up against this really tough defense up in Washington. And we're right in the midst of the playoffs, man. And it sucks that this team is banged up the way that they are right now with so much on the line and actually something to play for this late in the season. But look, the chips are all in front of you. They still have complete control of what happens to this. What's the future of this football team? They still have control over that. It just sucks that Kyle Pitts is not going to be part of that discussion.
Yeah, I'm very curious. Something that you mentioned earlier in the show was the fact of, like, when Cordarrelle Patterson went down, which this is being compared to, the guys who were able to fill that void, I feel like were more prepared and more of a, like, there was just a more of a rotation of guys at that running back position that could fill that void. And also, you know, you talk about Cordell being a pass-catching back, that sort of option being available. Like, Kyle Pitts was a guy who could be there to do that. So with Kyle Pitts out, I just feel like the gap between him and, you know, no offense, but Parker Hesse, Michael Pruitt, just is a much larger gap that it's going to be a lot more difficult to fill. About 10 minutes from now, Garrett and I will talk to 92.9 The Game Falcons beat reporter Joe Patrick to kind of get his thoughts of how maybe this Falcons offense is able to go, not just this week against the Washington Commanders, who have that really strong defensive line. Yeah. And that's without adding the fact that, like, this could be the week Chase Young comes back. I know everybody was he was pretty coy about it this week and essentially was like, I'm day to day. I'll come back when I'm ready. But like that just adds another element. We'll ask Joe about that when we talk to him, like I said, in about 10 minutes from now. I want to hear from Marcus Mariota, because there is one part of this Falcons season that does feel fairly new, that the Falcons haven't been, 10, 12 weeks into the season.
No doubt. We talk about it all the time, right? When you're playing meaningful football this part of the year, you're doing some things right. And what's cool about us is that we can continue to improve. And with this young group of guys that we have, you know, there's no complacency. Everyone's trying to get better. So if you can continue to grow and continue to stack days upon each other, you know, as you get later in the year, you'll kind of like where you're at. And if we can string these together, I think when we get to the point where the season's done, we'll be excited about it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I that's one thing that we talked about specifically earlier in the season, and or especially right as we were kind of gearing up for the season back in August. This is the Prove It Falcons. Like, that's what I like to call them. That's what I've been calling them all season, and I told you then, and I'll tell you now, I still don't judge this team based off the win-loss record. because it's such a young team, like you just talked about, because they still have so much that they can improve on going into next season. I mean, let's not, I mean, I don't think anybody's fooling this team with a Super Bowl contender necessarily, but look, this is a playoff contender. And I think more so than they were even last year when they were in that same position last year, but I think that was a little bit more fool's gold. This year, I legitimately see an identity. I see a team that's improved. I see a team that's rallied around, and like whatever Arthur Smith is telling these guys in the locker room. And look, everybody's doubting these guys. They've doubted them from the beginning, and this team has done nothing but win football games. Like, we're about 500 right now, and that is so far and above what anybody could have possibly expected out of this team this year. And look, we're counting our blessings down here in Atlanta, and they're going up and playing meaningful football. That stuff matters to these guys. You know, making the playoffs, proving the doubters wrong, and going out there and winning football games. And that's fantastic. Seeing this team and cheering for this team, it's very easy to root for.
Yeah, 5 wins through 11 games is one of those. Like, I didn't necessarily see 5 wins for this team all season. So much less through this point. It's been really interesting to see. The Falcons don't have some of the quarterback troubles. Well, that's kind of to your opinion, but they haven't made the quarterback change that we're going to see. A lot of quarterback change that we're going to see in the NFL. We'll get to that. We talked about the leftovers earlier today. We'll get to the leftovers, a segment we'll do to start the 11 o'clock hour. But coming up next on the other side of the break, we're going to talk to Joe Patrick, 929 The Game Falcons insider, get his thoughts ahead of the Falcons at the Commanders on Sunday. It's the Dopey Millennials on Sports Radio 929 The Game and the Odyssey app.
A day of football that has become as much a part of Thanksgiving as feasting and family.
Okay, family of mine.
Happy Thanksgiving.
From Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It's the Dopey Millennials, Caleb Johnson and Garrett Chapman with you on this Thanksgiving Day. I hope you're enjoying your Thanksgiving Day. I did think, Garrett, I was like, we need to give a shout-out. Thank you to everyone working today, because I know you're pulling a double today. You're going to work later today here at the station. Thanks to producer Dom, who slipped in here, as producer Eric could go enjoy a bit of his Thanksgiving Day. I know there's so many different people working. You know, you got your medical workers, your police officers, your truck drivers. Shout out to all the Waffle House workers today.
Waffle Home.
They are a Waffle Home. We appreciate them today. Also working today, giving us a few minutes of his time, is our 929 The Game Falcons insider, Joe Patrick. Joe, happy Thanksgiving. How you doing, man?
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you guys as well. If you call this work, then this is not work. This is not work. Yeah. This is a fun time. I mean, this is a really fun time of the sports season. Obviously, we have a ton going on, so thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I was just about to say, you know, no, I thankfully, we're not on video, so I have no idea, you know, what a drink or anything like that you might have in your hand, but I don't know. It is 10:43. I don't know if you're starting that early on Thanksgiving Day, but thank you
for, man.
Thank you for giving us some of your time so we can look into what's going on with this Falcons team. Obviously, the big news of the week is everything that happened with tight end Kyle Pitts and his. I was telling Garrett that Monday was such an annoying day to do sports flashes because it felt like the news kept changing. It was like, well, first it was a MCL sprain, and then it was an MCL tear, and it was like, well, he's going to need surgery. Well, Arthur Smith wouldn't confirm he needs surgery, and then it ended up whether or not it was going to be a long-term injury that or season-ending injury that the Falcons go and put Kyle Pitts on injured reserve. I'm curious, Joe, what was the team morale like this week? Is obviously that's a big loss in the Falcons trying to figure out how to fill that tight end void.
It's really hard to tell. I mean, anytime you have a player go down, especially an important player like Kyle Pitts, there's kind of an attitude of buck up your chest, that's all right. Like, we got this. Next man up is kind of the mantra that you hear throughout the locker room whenever something like this happens. And I think that that's so far what we've heard. There's nothing really visible that you could see from the players or whatnot as to, you know, any disappointment. But I think that, you know, deep down, they all know that Kyle Pitts is a huge part of this offense and what makes him tick. And Marcus Mariota talked about that a little bit yesterday as well. And so you are going to have to do some things to help make up for his loss. And Arthur Smith kind of alluded to this. It's something that I mentioned earlier this week, but I think that this Falcons coaching staff is going to have to get creative in terms of how you replace him. Cause it's not like you can just throw Felipe Franks or Anthony Ferguson in there for all the, you know, packages that Kyle Pitts is in and just be like, all right, you got this. You're the next man up. No, like what really has to happen is that this coaching staff has to figure out ways to make this offense, you know, successful in what it's best at doing, but doing so in ways that help, you know, mitigate that loss of Kyle Pitts as much as possible. So I think that, you know, potentially spreading out a little bit more than they've done so far this season with, you know, four wide receiver sets and potentially even getting Cordarrelle Patterson out in wide receiver areas and, you know, getting him more on more bubble screens and getting him out on the edge, things like that. That's going to be the way you replace Kyle Pitts more than just relying on, you know, your tight end room essentially to just replace what kind of talent he has, because the talent that he does have is, you know, no other player in the NFL really. It comes close to what Kyle Pitts has physically at that position.
Yeah.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We are talking to Smokin' Joe Patrick out there on the WadeFord.com hotline on this beautiful Thanksgiving. Drake London, is he a guy who you can see potentially filling some of this void, at least in the receiving game? He has one game this year with more than eight targets. Or with eight targets, I should say. Is he a guy who you can see the Falcons targeting?
Yeah, I mean, certainly when you talk about, like, guys who are going to have to step up, next man up, I think that you include the wide receivers in that because you know that there's going to be a certain target share that gets redistributed to other players that might not necessarily be the Anthony Ferks or Felipe Franks or whoever comes and does replace Kyle Pitts in some of his routes. So, yeah, I mean, I think that Drake London will be a guy that – is a recipient of some of those targets. Having said that, you know, he's going to have a lot to prove because it means that these opposing defenses, especially this week against Washington, are going to have more resources to deploy toward him specifically instead of, you know, keeping as close of an eye on Kyle Pitts as a lot of teams would have game planned going in to face him. So, yes, I would say that, Garrett, but the other thing I would say is that this Falcons offense, and this is not an indictment necessarily on Marcus Mariota, but this Falcons offense performs best when they're not throwing very much. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. If Marcus Mariota is throwing 20 times or less, that's probably a very good thing for the Falcons offense. If he's throwing more than that, then that means that the Falcons are playing a game that they don't want to be playing. Ideally, this team still, despite the loss of Pitts, wants to control the clock, wants to run the ball, wants to make the game short to help, you know, cover for some of the talent gaps that they have, you know, across various areas of the field against the Redskins or against the Commanders. So, you know, it's, I think that, you know, despite the fact that there will be more targets going to Drake London, I still think generally you're going to want to see this passing volume stay relatively low.
Talking with Joe Patrick, our 92.9 The Game Falcons insider on the WadeFord.com hotline. Joe, obviously tight end Kyle Pitts wasn't the only player to go on injured reserve this week for the Falcons. His defensive lineman, Taquan Graham, was another one who joined him after he was also injured in last Sunday's game. The Falcons were able to get after Justin Fields, what, sacked him four times. How do you see this Falcons defensive line, this pass rush in general, being able to get to Taylor Heinicke and the Commanders?
So I think the Falcons defensive line did a very good job against Justin Fields. I think you have to give the defense credit for the way they defended him. But I also think it was a bit of an anomaly just because of the type of quarterback Justin Fields is, especially at this point in his career. Yeah. And the fact that he was kind of sitting back there trying to take deep shots, and the Falcons really kind of made, you know, and Dean Pease kind of played the chess moves correctly and took a lot of that away and allowed some of these defensive linemen a lot of time to get to Justin Fields. And so I think that's the reason why we saw the sack numbers up there as they were, and we saw some other players getting to the quarterback that we haven't seen much of this season, because so much of the Falcons pass rush has been pretty much Grady Jarrett. It's just like Grady Jarrett is the team's pass rush. But it was nice to see guys like Arnold and Katie especially get to the quarterback. And, you know, Arthur Smith actually gave him the shout out on Monday, saying that he was actually rated as the team's player of the game in that one. So I think that gives you a lot of confidence about him and the way that he's developing coming into this season. I think that he in particular it's had a little bit of an adjustment to make with some of these, the, you know, just the physical caliber of NFL offensive linemen, but we're starting to see kind of his, what he has, you know, physically and speed on the edge there, starting to pay off for the Falcons. And then for some of these other guys, I mean, I think that, again, I think that a guy like Taquan Graham is probably a little bit easier to replace than obviously like a superstar talent like Kyle Pitts, but still, I mean, Taquan Graham has been the team's, you know, majority down starter on defense for a reason, and it's because he's proven himself both in training camp and last year, and then obviously with his performances in games this year. But I'm excited about one guy in particular, it's Jalen Dalton. I mean, I'm not saying that he's going to break out and have some massive game, but he's a player on that, a young player on the defensive line that really kind of stood out in training camp, was having a really good training camp, and Arthur Smith was, I think, very happy with what he was giving them, then got hurt, didn't make the team because of that, was put on injured reserve. But, you know, obviously now has since come back. And so I'm interested to see if him get some more snaps and him, you know, potentially trying to carry on from that kind of what he had put down in training camp. But then also you get Abdullah Anderson, who's also been a standout, a guy that they signed kind of later on in camp, who's really come in and been a lot more than just kind of a typical depth player. He's got some skill there. So we'll see what the Falcons can do. But I think that Dean Pease has a similar challenge on the defensive side, which is, you know, how do you scheme it up to try to help cover for a loss of what has been such a key player for you this year in Taquan Graham?
Joe, on the other side, on the Falcons' offensive line, it's been a bit of a revolving door at left guard, especially after Elijah Wilkinson hits the injured reserve. They've had four different guys starting in the last 4 weeks alone. What's the sort of confidence? What's the confidence in that group, or especially at left guard, heading into a matchup against one of the best defensive lines in the NFL?
I think it's very much an open question. I mean, we've had a lot of confidence in this Falcons offensive line for the majority of the season, and then certainly they have put in some really good performances against some, really quality opponents along the defensive line. But when you look back at some of these games they've played, you know, against the Chargers, no Joey Bosa, against the 49ers, no Nick Bosa, no Eric Armstead, you know, they've actually missed a lot of some of these opposing teams that they've played, some of their best, defensive linemen. And this Washington defensive line is among the best. I mean, they have some absolute animals on that defensive line. And this offensive line is going to have its hands full, especially, obviously, at that left guard position that you mentioned, Garrett. Now, Arthur Smith did say that he liked Chuma Adoga, although he wasn't willing to kind of go as far as to say that he's going to be the starter this week. Kobe Gossett missed the game for what we were told is not injury-related matter. So, don't know if he's going to step back into that position or if Chuma Adoga proved enough, but I got to say that I thought Chuma Adoga played much better than Kobe Gossett played when we saw him in the game against the Panthers on the road in a game that was an absolute disaster, not necessarily Kobe Gossett's fault. But, you know, I think that honestly, Drew Dahlman's another young player who was very poor in the Carolina Panthers game at center, came back and was much better against the Bears. So I think a lot of this Falcons offensive rhythm really relies on Drew Dahlman kind of getting those shotgun snaps back there in a consistent manner for Marcus Mariota to be able to operate. So that interior offensive line is certainly going to have its work cut out for him against one of the better units opposing them in the NFL this Sunday.
That is Joe Patrick. You can follow him on social media at JAPatrick200. Joe is not owned by the Russians anymore was. Yeah, that was, look, my favorite was when you came back and you used the Wire reference. I was like, this is chef's kiss. Beautiful. Give Joe a follow at JAPatrick200. Joe, before we get out of here with you, I am curious. There's a couple of conversations that Garrett and I have had this morning when it comes to Thanksgiving things. Are you a Thanksgiving Day parade watcher? And B, are you a Thanksgiving lunch person or Thanksgiving dinner? Like, what was it like in the Patrick household growing up?
Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays because it's kind of a family reunion of sorts for us. We always kind of do it big. And never watched the parade once in my life. we always have Thanksgiving lunch. Like, it's like a lunch. It's usually around like two or three, something like that.
Okay.
And then what is typically in my family been a tradition for us is after we eat, we all go out and shoot shotguns, shoot clay pigeons, on some random person's field in Blue Ridge, Georgia. So that, I feel like we're always having the most fun. I feel like really bad for everybody else in the world who's like not having all this fun outdoors on Thanksgiving Day. And then it's usually, you know, what's funny is like if you were to ask my family, no one would admit that football is a part of it. But actually what happens is every year we come home from the shoot, and then everybody ends up just kind of like sleeping in the living room watching with the football game turned on like very low volume. So that's pretty much our Thanksgiving tradition.
Joe, I do want to ask you this quick thing right before we let you go, about no more than 30 seconds. Yeah. Garth Lagerwey, the Atlanta United just goes out and signs brand new president, CEO of soccer operations for Atlanta United. I want you to grade that pick. Just give people really quick snapshot of who he is and what he brings to this organization.
A+. He's the best possible candidate this team could have had. Wow. There are some sexier hires that you could have gotten from Europe or something, but Garth Lagerwey is exactly what this club needed, and this club is in great hands. It's a paradigm-shifting move for Atlanta United.
Wow.
Wow, that is that's good. Good news. Exciting. Yeah, it's, I feel so much better. I had seen, I think Mike Conte called it like going to get the GM for the Golden State Warriors, essentially, you know, trying to make some sort of connection as to just how dominant Lagerwey has been in MLS. And I'm excited. You know, it felt like such a lull after Darren left, and to be able to fill it with that, and to hear the confidence that Joe Patrick, of course, is as Joe does some editing work for Dirty South Soccer. That's exciting. And Joe, thank you for spending some of your time of your Thanksgiving day, and enjoy lunch and the rest of your Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me on, Garrett. Thank you for working a double shift for us today. Everybody for working today. Really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Happy Thanksgiving, bud.
Absolutely. When we return, like turkey and football, this too is synonymous with Thanksgiving. The Leftovers are coming up next on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.